Episode 3. I know, right? Annoying. 70.
He's got to throw some cold water on this situation. Start talking about nerd stuff.
You know, nerd culture is mainstream now, so when you use the word nerd derogatorily, it means you're the one that's out of the zeitgeist.
System activate.
This is NetHeads with Will Wilkins.
It's a tech podcast. Tech podcast.
But we are a ton cooler than your typical geek.
You guys rock.
And now, here's Will.
No one listens to the radio. I wasn't even listening. I was listening to podcasts. Podcasts are great. Radio's boring.
Well, hello, everyone. Welcome to another edition of NetHeads. My name is Will.
And I'm not Trent.
No, once again, you're not. Although, I forgot to do something. So the next time you're on, hopefully I'll remember to do it, because I have a fun way I wish to intro you now. But for those that didn't notice, it's Tony. Tony's back. Hey, Tony, also known as Mr. Marvelette on all social media. Hey. Be sure to check him out. To rehash an old topic, I got this big monitor, and one of the things that I love is that I've got so much real estate now that I can not only have OBS up to switch the show, but even though I don't have that fancy producer product you do, it's almost like I'm looking at the camera when I look at you, because I can position you dead center. I love this so much. Guys, In the words of Hannibal, no, not that one, the one from the A-Team, I love it when a plan comes together. And it truly is right here on NetHeads. Now, Tony, before the program, I'm not going to lie, all right? I did not have any single topic to discuss. I don't know if you have run into this in your podcasting career yet, but, we're supposed to be a tech podcast, and it's like, there's not so much in the technology category within Google that Google News, which just means I need to diversify my news sources, but there's not enough information there to talk about. However, in the back of my brain, sir, things are always turning. And I remember two things distinctly. One, I saw an interesting TikTok over the weekend, and that particular TikTok pointed out the fact that essentially one key pivotal nerd out in the world, one programmer, one developer, one person out there doing things, happened to catch a very well-placed, insidious backdoor that was planted into a piece of Linux software that powers a lot of the machines that power the internet. I don't know if you heard about this.
I did not hear about this.
Now, when I see this type of thing happen, and I see it in TikTok obviously is not what I would call the world's best or most valid news source, okay? Granted, I think it is a great way for citizen newscasters, citizen reporters. It's a great way for us to catch certain live shows or live events, live happenings. Like, I can think of a few things where something was happening and people were catching it live, and it's like, oh my gosh, I can't believe I'm seeing this as it's unfolding. One night I was suffering from insomnia. Unfortunately, it was the same night that a boat had taken out the Key Scott Bridge. So I started to see that, and I'm like, oh man, that's terrible. Go and check real news sources to check things out. So this thing popped up, and I'm like, okay, this sounds interesting, but I really, really hope that this is true, because it sounds amazing. And sure enough, today or yesterday, it dropped in the New York Times as well, where they pointed out that this developer who he works for Microsoft also is one of the people that helps support the open source community that powers this particular Linux utility. And what he had discovered is that quite literally a very sophisticated and very hard to identify, because there was even code put in place to obscure, if you will, the existence of the backdoor even further, make it harder to find. He identified that somebody, and they don't know who, they do know the screen name of the person that had done a very long con job, if you will, a long confidence con. I don't know if you're familiar with a confidence con, Tony. Maybe you should diversify your portfolio. they did this in order to get themselves to a point where they could be a maintainer of this particular open source code base. And then obviously in a very sophisticated and clever manner ended up getting this backdoor put in, and he ended up noticing it. Now, backdoor, in case you guys don't know, or if you've never even seen War Games, well, actually there's a lot of people now that probably haven't seen War Games. Well, you're dating yourself, settle down. But if you're familiar with, I'm sure there's been enough hacking stuff out there in the world that people understand what a backdoor exploit would be, right, Tony?
Right.
Okay. So what do you think it is then?
So for me, a backdoor exploit would be some way that's it's innocuous. It's not really something that you would think would get you into a system. Let's go a little bit more modern, not very much modern. We're talking about the 90s. Mm-hmm. Beyond War Games, Sandra Bullock in The Net.
I'm not going to ever forgive you for bringing up that movie. Get out of my studio immediately. Wait, you're in your own basement. Never mind. There's one thing I have to admit. I have never seen the movie Hackers, but there are a lot of people that romanticize and love the movie Hackers. Maybe I should see it. But anyway.
You've never seen Hackers?
I've never seen
Angelina
Hackers.
Jolie was good in it, but my favorite person at all was Matthew Lillard. His character was just fun and wacky. And it was fun. I mean, it's really dated. Really dated.
I have no idea why Sean Wilson is chiming in with episode 4, no spoilers, but that's ominous. And Miranda and Janelle also checking and saying, strap in, open source maintainers are amazing, and this one is a doozy. It kind of is. So, mm-hmm. It is and it isn't, because honestly speaking, I've given you the very brief version of it, the very easy to summarize Reader's Digest version mm-hmm. of it, because, you know, what it came down to, and I saw this over the weekend, so I believe all of this transpired over the weekend. This backdoor had gone out in an update, thankfully hadn't been widely pushed. So now I'm sure a zero-day exploit went out for people, alerting them to, install this immediately, just in case, especially if you've installed version whatever. But, you know, the important thing to remember is that the way this backdoor existed, it would have allowed tons of datas or systems to be exploited. If you ever saw Die Hard 4 and they talked about the fire sale and these hackers yep. had been so insidious that they got into all these systems, guess what? Could have been a reality, folks. And it all comes down to one guy identifying it. So just one man. One person, I should say, I don't know what they're, but one person identified this and saved all of the internet for you, and you never knew it even happened. When I hear about those types of things, I am just amazed and I'm thankful because mm-hmm. of how much I rely on the internet on a minute-by-minute basis, Tony.
Oh, yeah. And I love how you mentioned, Live Free and Die Hard, movie with Kevin Smith in it.
Yes, The Warlock, which I jokingly told yes. him I was the Warlock when I sent him a picture of my new setup. Thankfully, got a laugh. Name drop. The other thing, another topic that I thought would be interesting to talk about, Tony, because I, as a person, I don't know, I wasn't paying attention when I did this, but apparently, like on Instagram and as such, basically mm-hmm. Meta products, I ended up getting the services that also gives you like a blue check mark, right? The verification mark. I don't know what it was, and I don't remember what feature it was I was looking at that made me explore it, but I've got it. And one of the things that I think I entertained when it was $6 to make sure posts like this would go out, but I'm not really, I don't want to say completely down with the platform anymore, but X, the application formerly known as Twitter. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you remember, but there became a day of reckoning where a line was drawn in the sand. And I think it was like something as crazy as December 31st of 2022 or something, where Elon Musk decided the way to stop the company from hemorrhaging, the way we're going to save this service that people have been utilizing is free all this time. We're going to charge not even a cheap price to get the blue check mark. And they're thinking, and I can kind of see the logical argument to this as well, that, you know, the easiest way for verification is if you are using a credit card in your same name, you know, you're proving you're a person, and but that's only proving you're a person, not a bot. That's not proving that you are Mr. Marvelite rather than that Mr. Marvelite, or Mr. Marva capital I-I-T-E, you know what I mean? Obscuring the L. So that was their brilliant idea. Let's charge for it. And I think the price went up too, which is why I definitely was like, nope, pull the plug on that one.
What's really funny is, though, I did an experiment with it to see if it actually helped boost my post, which, mind you, your posts do get more exposure if you actually post, which I don't really do much posting on X or Twitter or whatever. And so I let the subscription lapse and I'm no longer paying for X. And Elon, if you're watching, you've never removed the blue check mark. I still have it. I don't pay for it. I still have it if you go on there. So
very good.
I mean, you can tell that
well,
there are some benefits to him to firing everybody and running everything off of AI, because AI doesn't know, you know, what it's doing.
Exactly. So. But you bring up a point, a good point, that brings us to where we are now. I did not see this in the news. I did not see this in the main tech feed for my Google News and the like. But what I did see, one of my favorite people to follow on X, even though I'm really not involved with that platform very much anymore, I go on and usually I'll do a whiny post lamenting of the times when Twitter was great instead of what it is now. Old man yelling at kids to get off his lawn, basically. But I love following Yvette Nicole Brown. You may have known her as Shirley on Community. She is a fabulous human being. She is a member of the Blurred community. She is a very, I think, straightforward person. No nonsense in dealing with her following. And I get a good experience following her. She basically woke up and posted about, why do I have this mark now? Which I don't even want because of what you've done to the platform. But suddenly we're giving it out for free. It's true. For people that, and I love the wording here, have 250,000 verified followers or more, get like the, I don't know what the tiers are, but you get like the first level of boosted service. And if you have more than 5,000 verified followers, you get the premium plus service. So I guess you get premium or premium plus, depending on which is interesting, because that must mean I have a lot of not verified followers, because I'm relatively certain I don't have the check mark, and I still have at least on that platform, I believe 4,000 followers. So
yeah, I'm not even anywhere near 1,000. So
oh, really?
For me to still have the, because I'm not active on, listen, I used to have an account that had more, which was my art account, and I got rid of that. And so I started all over with Mr. Marvelite.
Now, why would you do that? Why wouldn't you just convert the art one over to Mr. Marvelite?
I don't know.
Because honestly speaking, Tony, there was a time before Netheads where I did a podcast, and I'm not kidding. It was a podcast about the world of Kevin Smith that was called Radio Askew. Because of the avatar that one had, which was an artistic rendering of a bearded man wearing a backwards white cap with like sound waves coming off him or something. I can't believe I can't even remember what the Radio Askew logo looked like anymore other than that. Because of that, that account got a decent following because of those two factors. You know, maybe people found me entertaining too. Maybe it's a lot of bots. I don't know. And then I had tried to do a Netheads Twitter account. And then I just realized this Twitter account that I'm not using. Yes, in fact, I have 4,441 followers and I do not have a blue check mark. Okay, so they're not verified. Mm-hmm. So that's the rub. Anyway, so the Radio Askew account had a decent following at the time, you know, which could have been as easily 500 and I would have been ecstatic. And so then I decided to convert that one over to the Netheads one. I'm like, just to heck with it. Let's do that. Let's get the bigger audience on board. Why not? And it's been that way ever since. So that's why I'm just why wouldn't you have used your art one?
Okay, I actually do remember why I did it.
Because I was still doing art, you stupid dick. Leave me alone.
No, I was doing art, but then what happened was right after James Gunn was fired from Marvel Studios, because of that whole alt-right agenda, I became targeted by the same individuals who targeted him because I was a part of a fan group that supported him and actually raised money for a billboard outside of Burbank, California, saying, "Save the galaxy, rehire James Gunn." And they listed us as a very inappropriate thing just because we were supportive of James Gunn. And it was the only time I've ever been put on a list with Dave Bautista. But I was still on that list when I closed out the account, and I didn't want that to be associated with Mr. Marvel.
Fair enough. I completely understand. I totally get it. Okay, that is a very good reason. If it still has more followers than you, though, I would definitely get back into it, because it's funny you mentioned that. And one of the things that... one of the things I kind of did want to talk about. Anyway, my whole point is, obviously, this is an interesting thing to have happen on X. I'll come back to the other thing I want to talk about.
Mm-hmm.
But this is a very interesting thing to happen on X Twitter. And the reason why I say that is because with this happening, it definitely cries, "Please come back," when I hear it. They are definitely trying to do their best to solicit audience back to them, to try and get the previously verified, now go F yourself Elon people to come back to the platform, because obviously, quite geniusly, of course, he has driven it into the ground, and now the competition, I'm sure, from Threads and everything else is getting to him. I don't understand why he wanted to do this. I don't understand why he boasted and got into this, and I'm sad that he did. And I know we keep rehashing this, but I mean, go ahead.
You know, it's kind of funny though, because there are some things that X does really well, and not much, but let's take last week. I was on Netheads, and then you came on to Fandoms, We had a really good episode. We ended with 99 viewers. We had over 100 and something that had watched and maybe left, but 99 that were there for at least a good 20 to 30 minutes before we ended the show. And of course, some of the wonderful Netheads followers and viewers were part of that. But the majority of our audience was from X. We had like one or two on YouTube, which is where we kind of really try to focus.
Mm-hmm.
But the majority, like 80 something of those followers, were X viewers.
Yeah, man.
So it's kind of baffling. And that's the way it's been for Nerd Initiative across the board. There are always more Twitter viewer or X viewers than there are anything else.
Yeah, I am honestly speaking now. And the reason why Tony has insight into that is because you utilize one of the same things I use. I'm actually using it now, but in a different fashion. I've now somehow both switched over to using when I did the conversion for doing this, I've gone to a software driven tech solution rather than using a web based software tech solution. I like to be in control. I like to be able to put up what I put up. I like to be able to do single shots, I don't know. Everything works with my Stream Deck, so there's natural integration here. But we use Restream to get the feed out to all of the platforms, including X. We still haven't dropped that either. I think it goes out. Yeah, it goes out on the Netheads Media account, which, now that I think about that, that's stupid. It should go out on this account because I got more followers anyway. You know, it's funny, the revelations you embarrassingly realize while you're sitting on the air. But the other thing too is that you use it in a way where you're doing all of the video switching right there on the screen. You're controlling it through the web interface. And because of that, you get you get better stats. Like right now, using the plugin that goes from OBS to Restream, I'm only told I see a certain number that's on X. But my entire life, it's always been that number because it's not translating that additional information. But we too have always had kind of a better following on X. But, you know, now that I realize it, coming soon to that, Will Wilkins and Netheads on Air on Twitter will be this, because I've always believed that a podcast product Well, I kind of saw the writing on the wall. Oh, it was back around episode 194. We're now at 370. So, you know, you do the math. I knew that things were changing and that in order to evolve as a program, you had to integrate into multiple platforms. I especially understood that when I started seeing the amount of podcast listening that was not happening on portable devices. And then I'm like, wow, the world is shifting. But thankfully you guys at Nerd Initiative have you've just gone head in on the direction that most people do now, which is you actually put together a video product and then run that as a podcast as well.
Yeah. So that's been something that we've really been trying to figure out. I mean, Fandoms was our flagship, is what we started. I will say that the rest of the teams that run their own shows, Turn a Page, Wrestling Night Live, they do a much better job. They're much more showmen and they're much smarter when it comes to planning. I don't prepare what comes out my mouth, and it's pretty obvious. And so that's why when we had 99 viewers, as a
jobber, man.
Yeah, when I had 99 viewers watching us, one of the questions I asked during the stream was, why? Which is never not what you that. Want to say. No,
never ask that
like,
question.
I'm like so surprised. And again, it's the thing of it's the imposter syndrome. It's not knowing your worth.
Well, and plus there's the concern. Oh, have I just been stumbled upon by some bots? Which is kind of the next thing I wanted to talk about, because one of the things that I wanted to discuss, even though I'm not able to really provide an informed opinion on, is the amount of bullying that's happening now for social, I don't want to say for social media influencers, but, you know, for content creators on the internet. Now, there are different kinds of things, and it's different types of discussions and debates. One of the things that happened that I was personally able to see was when Kevin Smith was coming out with the Masters of the Universe Revelations and or Revelation.
Phenomenal series, by the way.
Right? Everything that they have done with the He-Man series, I've enjoyed. I enjoyed the second season as well with Masters of the Universe Revolution. So, you know, they need one more R to finish off the series, and I hope that happens. But at the time that before the first one came out, here's some of the, well, it's not my story to tell, so I'm not going to say it. But there was a certain point where online, Kevin had answered an account, and it said, as the person who's created it, I can assure you this is not the case for what they were saying. And I don't want to say the name of the account. But it just so happened that that account had a, let's just say, a right-wing influence, okay? They had right-wing presence, and you could definitely tell that in today's terminology, in the term of woke culture, they were in the against it type category.
Yeah.
Because of that interaction, I know that Kevin Smith somehow got onto some type of bot list for somebody's agenda that was being pushed, because I would watch him post something and then I would see people try and divert the conversation to the other thing. And it was multiple accounts saying the exact same message. Okay.
Yeah.
Now back in that day, and cause we're talking like we're talking at least 2 years ago now, I think. Right. Back in that day, it wasn't like it is now, where bullying is instead a coordinated effort that I'm seeing in certain cases. And people are saying the same message because they've been instructed to go do so. Because there are groups now that apparently believe that people with influence online that create content have a duty to make commentary on issues that are going on today. And if they aren't, then they assault that person's accounts and postings with whatever their agenda message is. It's a general theme. People talk on it. And I don't want to get into any details of any people that this has happened to, but I've seen at least two creators that I follow that this has happened to, which is also part of the reason why generally I stay away from all topics except like two very brief ones, which is family and tech, right? But even that won't protect you. If tomorrow, for some reason, my presence on any platform were to explode, then I would be liable to have this happening. Now, first of all, are you familiar with what I'm talking about? What's your take on it?
I'm familiar with a little bit of it. I don't know exactly which group you're talking about. I know you're being, you know, generally specific here. I do know that it always seems like whatever with these, whether they're bots or they're actually, it's a coordinated attack. It always seems like there are trigger words that even if you within like content that you're making, if you post about something, like it seems like the SEOs are what draws them in, like those search engine optimizations that you put in your description for things, or even like with me on TikTok, is it surprising that I talk about a female casted Silver Surfer and a guy who I've only been getting like, let's say 300 to 500 views on my videos, all of a sudden has one that's over 6,000 views.
Mm-hmm.
And it's specifically about that. And there's lots of people in the comments that like to talk negatively and say negative things. And they're just chomping at the bit, wanting more.
Now, here's the thing that kills me about this, okay?
Mm-hmm.
First of all, when this type of thing happens, I don't think it's fair. Because it's not up to anyone about the stuff I want to talk about, just the way I have the freedom to tell them to shut the hell up or block them or remove their comments, but they still have the right to make them, if you will, as long as it doesn't violate the terms of service for that platform. But the thing that cracks me up about it are the people that they don't like what you're saying, and they want to voice their opinion that they don't like what you're saying to the point where they would like to suppress what you're saying. But by actively engaging with your content,
they're boosting it.
They're going to boost your reach because you're telling the algorithm, oh, this post people are interacting with. They're staying on the platform more. They've watched this video more than once while they prepare their retort, if you will. So, and all that's doing is telling the algorithm, oh, this is a hot thing. We should try serving it up more and see how it plays.
Oh, no, exactly. And I think back in television, there was a concept that there's no bad news or there's no bad publicity.
There's no bad press.
There's no bad press. And so I sit and I look like I didn't even pay attention. Now, I used to be, my OCD is
computer
getting a little bit better.
Preheat up or oven to 500 degrees.
I had to read every single comment and had to look at every single thing. And what's funny is I watch the comments going and I see that there's some that are negative and people are going back and forth. I'm like, thank you for the engagement. Thank you for that. I really appreciate it. You're doing a wonderful job. Keep it going. You're helping me boost my numbers. My only thing is I felt really bad that it was being boosted on a stitched video, which means I can't make any money off of it. So it's
like, ain't that about a bitch? That's always the case too. You're like, oh, wait a second, but I'm not going to get anything on it because it was this, or it was a duet or what have you. And it's like, oh man. And I got to admit too, I was kind of excited when the video came up because I'm like, oh look, I'm finally getting Straw Hat Goofy in my feed again. But no,
it was me.
It was you. It was you all along, Tony.
What was so funny was people are like, Straw Hat Goofy's wrong. It must be a Thursday. And I'm like, no, it wasn't that. I was just adding to and correcting a couple things. It was like, people think that I'm like, I'm going after people and like attacking them. Like I'm friends with Straw Hat. When I see him next, we'll be giving each other a hug. And you know, it's nothing like that. And it's even like, the creator, Blu-ray Angel. The only thing that has ever bothered me about that guy is he is so positive. I cannot understand how anybody can be that excited all the time. But the more I watch him, the more I think that's really naturally just the kind of guy he is. And so when I stitch his videos, people are like, oh, I can't stand that guy. I'm like, he's my friend. Like, what's wrong with you?
Settle down, bro. Come on. You're talking about people I know. Oh, look at that. Miranda Janelle met Straw Hat Goofy on Saturday.
That's awesome.
Dude is so sweet. Glad to hear that, too. No, I haven't had the opportunity to be in the same space as him yet. It would be nice, but only because one of those people that I follow. I mean, like, I don't know if you're the same way, Tony, but there are certain accounts that I'm still endeared to. And a lot of them are a lot of those people that we started following during the pandemic, especially back when the algorithm was a little more friendly in serving up a variety of the content that it thinks you want. And that's how I learned about Straw Hat Goofy and Koi and Jay Stoobs and the like. You know, it's because it was bringing them directly to me, and it was great. Now, you know, like, at least for that particular platform, I think it's as equally saturated as all the rest now. You know, once again, the playing field has been leveled. And plus, we're also finding out, I think, at this point, it being 2024 now, it's also interesting because we're finding out what business has learned about, you know, these big TikTok influencers and their large followings. What does that really translate to for us? You know, are we going to get this? Are we going to... But at the same time, there are other companies, Tony, that are doing the exact opposite. Like, for, I'm going to mention it now because the next time I mention it, it's going to be just integrated, casual, and part of the conversation. And actually, do I have the box? The box is out of reach. It's the coolest packaging. So we were approached by a company that said, "Hey, our content is great. We'd like you to try our product, and if it works for you, you know, let's do a little something. Give us a little scratch, wet our beak a little bit."
Yeah.
But the presentation, you know what? I got here. Everybody, look at Tony for a second while I talk off mic, which is like one of my least favorite things to have people do.
Well, hi, everybody.
Yeah.
While Will is talking off camera, which we really can't hear him.
It wasn't that part. Back. It was right there.
Sheesh. See?
I just, I'm like, no, you can't have this spotlight.
Thank you. Thank you for that. I appreciate that.
I appreciate you trying to fill, though. So the product name is Magic Mind, but one of the things that...
Magic Mind?
Magic Mind, M-I-N-D. Okay,
at first I thought you said Magic Mike, and I'm like, I don't know where we're going.
Just, no, trust me, it's going to be great. Which, by the way, when it came to the movie Free Guy, the Channing Tatum bits were some of the best, I think, out of anything I've ever seen, because of the way it did such a great job of kind of both representing and lampooning the gaming streamer persona. So anyway, yeah. Magic Mind is a product. It's one of those things, you know, it uses natural herbs and things to help improve memory, increase focus, and give... Well, actually, the proper copy, I love the way they say it, is to provide focus and something else, which, you know, it's probably right here on me. But, and productivity. So, and trying to provide natural methods for delivering caffeine and the like. But I just have to say, one of the things I loved, I cut up, it looks like a regular box, right? This, it's a regular shipping box. But what messed me up was when I cut the top and it opened up into a full product presentation, complete
with
buzz terms. And it was all directions, man.
It's all whited out. You can barely see it on camera.
No, that's you. Everybody else can see it. Never mind.
It's only my camera that's messed up.
Yeah, it's gorgeous. And that really just impressed me. And I looked at the stuff that's in it too, and I'm like, all of this is good for energy. They've got like citicoline. They got lion's mane mushroom, which is supposed to help your mind. They've got for energy a B2, B3, B12 vitamins. They've got L-theanine and turmeric for stress. So
I always look for those.
Right. And you know, just as you'd expect, if I'm one a natural remedy shot, you know, it better be green, but doesn't require refrigeration either. So I look forward to hopefully speaking more about this next week.
So you literally just take the shot. You take the shot of it.
Yeah, it's just like, you know, just like your old 5-hour energies or the like. But in this case, it's all natural. And the offer code we're going to have, if you buy into the subscription, it's like you can get 56% off. So I'm really looking forward to trying that. And I hope it works, because one of my biggest complaints in the day, and one of the reasons why I ended up getting evaluated for adult ADHD, is because I found it more and more difficult to maintain focus on what I'm working on, as well as staying on one task. You know, there are a lot of things that eventually when you learn about stuff, you learn, oh, you know, the fact that I've got boxes of stuff to deal with in the garage, or the fact that I've got so many started projects, but not many completed ones. It's like you seem to have a focus issue. And, you know, daily energy is also one of the things that, as a caffeine addict, I'm always looking for alternatives to, especially if it, you know, you don't want to get jittery. So I'm hoping it works out. But like I said, I can't really talk about it until I've tried it for 3 days. So this time next week, hopefully I'm still shot out of a cannon at 7:39 p.m. But my whole point is, you know, honestly speaking, Netheads was once something, and now we're at like 10% of that thing. But they're still willing to work with, you know, let's just say smaller numbered creators. And I will admit that what we get would be, it is a humble thing. You know, but at the same time, over on TikTok, I hawked one of them robot vacuums, and it's taken officially 3 months for me to ever get a credit for somebody buying it. So if you're looking just for affiliate sales, man, that ain't the way to go. Instead, you always want people to pay you for your product. My whole point being, my man Tony, we're going to be, if this works, we're going to be dialing in with some of these folks too, because you got a place. Well, I don't know how you feel about doing stuff on Nerd Initiative, but you know, other places, well, you can definitely blow it out.
We're looking for sponsorships on Nerd Initiative for our shows specifically, but then we can also bring them in for, I mean, mind you, we're doing live streams, we're doing podcasts. So by all means, like, it's not a problem at all.
I didn't even tell these guys about my TikTok following, and that may have been, but anyway, I mean, it's still a humble thing, but like, okay. And, and this is not the case, guys, but what if I told you, like, what if you were to get, you did 10 spots and you'd get $50 a spot, right? That's still just for mentioning something for 10 to 13 minutes on your podcast. That's not a whole, or even 5 minutes. That's not very heavy lifting for a little bit of quan, right? It's reasonable.
Yeah.
So there are companies now that are willing to work with smaller creators. I just think, you know, this is one of those moments, having been through it a few times, it's time to keep an eye out for the shift in the paradigm again. Because it's coming. We've reached a point now where so many people are producing podcast videos. Social media is now tech savvy, where if you're doing this, then you've got to have your 60-second or your 3-minute soundbite version of it to distribute on all platforms to bring people back to this. And that platform then has the potential of exposure as well. It's this nutty thing where I don't understand how people that are like us, that have families, but still have this drive and ambition, I don't know how they get it all done and while maintaining, you know, regular employment as well. Now, you, on the other hand, taking all this into stride, you've recently been remodeling your creator space, haven't you?
Yeah. So spent an inordinate amount of money on IKEA, bought used some of the Alex furniture to kind of build a desk space. And you can see the counter a little bit over here. And it's helped kind of clarify. I always say this, if you are hyperfixation aside, if you're ever struggling with being creative, one of the things you need to do is just rearrange your space. You need to get your mind moving, and sometimes changing things up are the best ways to fix that. And so, yeah, I've been trying to clean it up. I still got to work on the camera placement, because I want you guys to be able to see farther behind. Like, you're looking toward the floor right now, but there's, you know, this whole room, and I don't know what's going on with why I look so soft right now, other than I am a squishy guy, but,
well, I didn't say you looked comfortable. I said your focus seemed a little soft. That's all.
Hello. I don't know what's going on. I think I have to work on the placement, because again, having this prompter, you have to have your camera placed. And I think it's maybe skewing that a little bit and giving a little bit of a blur.
Maybe just got to clean the glass, man. Come on, clean the glass. Yeah. You didn't realize you forgot to take off one layer of protective film. I've actually had that happen on something. Anyway, but I wanted to ask questions about this, because I got messages along the way. You're like, oh, went to IKEA, decided to fix the desk. I bought a countertop. What a countertop?
So you can buy desks at IKEA for extreme amounts of money. They've got standing desks and all that kind of stuff. One of the things back in 2020, when I first built my computer, that I wanted to do, I wanted to do two things. One, I wanted to build a desk where the computer was the desk. That too much work, too much tooling. And I just knew that if I messed something up, I was going to short the motherboard. So I decided to stick with a normal case. But IKEA has, and they've had it for a while, this option in the office section where you can literally buy different size desktops, and you can either buy legs. And like for mine, this is like a 78.5-inch wide desk. And so it requires a leg in the middle to support everything because it's thicker board, but it's still kind of a composite board.
Mm-hmm.
But it's definitely a better quality. But then on top of that, like you can put count, like I have two cabinets where I can store some of my electronics and stuff on both sides. And then you can add a counter with drawers. You can have one with a file cabinet, which who needs a file cabinet anymore in this day and time? But there are all of these options and you can piece it together. And so the cabinet sections on the two sides, they're $60 each. The countertop was about, I want to say $50, which isn't bad when you put it together. It's just that I kept buying more stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And you can even do things like A-frames. So you could put your PC on the A-frame, and you can do lots of different solutions. So I have two countertops that are basically my L shape now. And this side has legs. And then this desk has one leg in the middle and two cabinets on each side, one cabinet on each side. And it's really a whole lot sturdier than what I was doing. I'd bump into my desk and shake everything, and it looked like I was going through an earthquake.
Yeah, I can respect that. Before I got this articulated arm, this desk was really, even though it's one of them powerlifting desks. It's good and solid, but still, you smack it and things move. But that sounds like a fun adventure. And one of the things I just realized, one of the people I follow on TikTok is Steven the Lightspeed. I think it's just like L3SPD. But neither here nor there. He has a very active Patreon as well. One of the things he just made, 3D modeled, which you may want to check out, especially if it's available on Thangs, you can 3D print a clamp that'll go, it's adjustable to clamp on to your desk. So basically it's like your typical C clamp, you know, it's shaped like this, but he's also made it modular where you can attach different things to it. You could attach a filament spool if you wanted to. That's one of the things he did. But the thing that got my attention, they're like, maybe I want to do that. Yeah. You can attach a drink holder, a cup holder. So that way you could have a cup holder that's not on your desk, holding your drink still comfortably within reach, and you're at no risk whatsoever of spilling it on your desk.
I got this from Amazon.
Oh, yeah. See, you could have 3D printed something for that.
Well, I didn't have a 3D printer when I bought that at first.
Oh, well, good news. If you'd like something different, you can 3D print one. Speaking of which, we always kind of get into the 3D prints that I've done this week. This one I'm particularly proud of. Now, since tidying the office, I found my collection of rechargeable batteries, right? Because I still use a lot of things that use batteries, and where it allows me to, I will use the Amazon Basic rechargeable one. So that way I'm not buying batteries all the time, and I keep enough on hand to where I can charge some when I'm going to need them and then swap them out. So, you know, it's kind of a hot swappable solution as well. Mel Walker saying, I'd be the one to find a way to spill my drink. Hey, Mel, how you doing? It's so nice to see you again. Also, Sean Wilson asked how the bots are doing. They're doing fairly well. Their camera, I don't think, is connected right now, so we can't cut to them. But I think, yeah, see, they're unplugged right now. But they're doing good. They are doing fairly well. As a matter of fact, I'd given up on the Vector, the company that owns Digital Dream Labs. The service has been down since like August of last year. But I did get the open source solution and a Linux box that it's running on, and I just need to set it up. So the Vectors will be back in service.
Beware of the back door.
Right? Exactly. that sounds like the title of something very, very different. And I don't know. I'm not going to react to it. So they're going to be back online, and the emos are doing great. The Ortomies are hardly ever on, and my daughter has once again lost interest in her Luna robot. So, but more videos on TikTok to come for those. So I had all these rechargeable batteries. Now, the thing is, they've been sitting next to my computer or next to a laptop that's on my desk. Excuse me. Every once in a while, I go through to get something, and I'd knock one of them, like, oh, I just got it. And then I realized, you have a 3D printer, Will. Why don't you find something to store them in? And then I found this one, Tony. As you can see here, not only does it hold them, it's like chambers.
That's cool.
But you can also rotate it, so that way you can spin it around, empty holes to put more batteries in. It's that, and it fits
locked and loaded.
Fits in the toolbox drawer.
That's nice.
So even better. So that one is definitely going to change my life. Speaking of my life and my wife, she actually came to me this week. Has this happened to you? Has anyone in your family yet come to you and say, hey, can you 3D print something for me like this?
Yes.
What was it?
Yes. So when I first got my 3D printer, my cousin runs a ice cream shop. And immediately the first thought was, hey, you could like 3D print a whole bunch of ornaments for us to sell at Christmas time and for us to make money. I'm like, sure. How much are you thinking you want to pay into it? Oh, I just get you the filament. Like, no, I gotta get something out of this.
Yeah, wet my beak a little.
And then of course it never, you know, brought up. And then my, you know, diabetes and stuff like that, insulin holders or different clips for different things. And of course my kid comes to me and wants like certain characters and stuff of things that he watches. So like I made something from a weird game called Poppy's Playtime, and he's extremely ecstatic about that. Awesome. So yeah.
Well, my wife came to me and she said, can you print me a makeup brush washer? I'm like, I don't know what that is, but, you know, I looked it up, sent her a Yegi search result, I think it was, and she sent back this one. Did the trick, worked great. I'm now a hero. I don't know what it is, but the fact that she's coming to me to ask for things to be 3D printed makes me feel better for having the machine. I don't know why.
Well, it's because when you have your significant other support what you're doing or finds usefulness in what you do, it goes beyond being a hobby and it becomes something that you can help, you know, mm-hmm. those that you love. So it makes perfect sense.
I mean, I'm not kidding when I say the modular system that I now have for holding a phone, a USB charger, and the two Stream Decks are great. I never even thought of turning it vertical instead of horizontal for the little one. And it's changed my life. It's been revolutionary. And I've gained so much space back on my desk. I got to pull out the old tour box again. So now I can have an easier time editing audio and video. 3D printing is revolutionary, so much so I found out my niece's boyfriend really wanted to get into 3D printing, and I thought to myself, I said, well, you've had that Ender 3 clone in the garage now, not plugged in for a year. I think it's safe to say you're not going to use it, because, you know, you just came from this world. You don't want to deal with post-it notes and bed leveling and this and that. You want something that does it all. And this one, it's an Ender 3 clone. So it's very manual. You got to set and tune everything up, which I still think is a great thing for learning the basics of 3D printing, you know? So
absolutely.
And here was my logic. I said, you know what? Here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to give you this. They're like, oh my God, thank you. I'm like, it's fine. Here's the reason why I'm doing it, though. It seems like I'm being generous, but I'm being selfish. Makes no sense. It'll make sense in a second. Because I told them I was going to put it on Facebook Marketplace for $50. But now instead, I see the joy on your face. You can never do anything bad by supporting an artist. The only thing you can do bad is suppressing an artist. So, mm-hmm. I told him that, and I said, and lastly, if it doesn't work out for you, and most importantly, now I don't have to deal with Facebook Marketplace, and if it doesn't work out for you or you need the money, you can deal with Facebook Marketplace. So it's a win-win, mm-hmm. win-win-win.
Yeah, and I'll be honest with you. My Ender 3 Pro, I have an issue with it, and I've been needing to deal with it because for whatever reason, it's not feeding the filament into the extruder. And I'm like, I really need to fix this. But I have a K1 Max. I don't really care too much. So it's just kind of sitting there. My wife keeps looking at me like, are you going to fix this? And I'm like, maybe, maybe not. I don't know if I really need to right now.
Here's the thing, Tony. As long as it works, though, the reason why I justify, I don't know why I just smacked my microphone. The reason why I'm able to justify having like the other 3D printers is because if there are other things you want to print that aren't as immediate, then you can always have the older one going and doing that. Because once you fine tune them, you still get great quality prints out of them, you know, just maybe not as fine or clear as your K1 Max and most definitely not as fast, but it still works. It still gets the job done. I'm just not willing to deal with anything that's not an automatic bed leveler anymore.
I know. Same here. Like the LiDAR on the K1 Max has been by far the most beautiful thing that I have experienced. Just in asking, do you want it to go through the leveling process? Sure. Go for it.
Yeah. I don't
care. Absolutely.
Take the 6 minutes. I don't care. You can have that 6 minutes if it means I'm not coming back to spaghetti later.
Yeah, it was not enjoyable the first time because I wanted to see it print for the first time when I got it. And so the leveling took forever. But now I literally just get on my phone and I pull up the app and I'm like, you know what? I will print this now. And it does its thing. And I'm not even in the room when it happens. And I love it.
Yep. Yeah. It's the app convenience, especially being able to also just monitor your prints is a nice thing. Like, where is it at? Is it going fine? Connect to the camera. Yep. It's fine. We can get out of here now.
Good. And the excess of time-lapse videos that I have now of just like watching the prints, like that's a beautiful thing.
Tony just sits back, relaxes, pulls up
videos. I'm serious. Like, so like right now, I need to be more active on Patreon again because I got through that moment where the HyperSix fixation fell off. But what I've been doing is I've been throwing on the time lapses of the prints that I've been doing, and it's just beautiful to kind of see it because it'll take a 15-hour print and it'll show you 11 seconds of it just making the print real fast, and it's beautiful, and it's just easy content.
Sean Wilson, how about some more vids? Yeah, definitely. What was I going to ask you? Yeah, one of the things you hit on earlier on, because for those that don't know, I shouldn't even be getting into another topic. We got to wrap it up. Why? Because my kid I actually started late pizza. Because my daughter is very picky about what she eats, and she really likes the pizza I make, and I've got to get it in the oven. But I think I also determined right before we started, we got a little bit of time. So I want to bring this up because I've been seeing little news bits. I've been seeing things pop up, and I've not known what sources they're coming from. And see, Miranda Janelle says, I want to see the commentary track of the time lapse.
Yeah, so 10 seconds of, and this is the print happening.
Done. Okay. Just play that. That was nice and clean, Miranda. Extract that from this video and then just play that. If you're looking at his time lapse videos, problem solved. You mentioned this, and I don't know where in the news came out, but you mentioned that for the Fantastic Four movie, we are getting a Silver Surfer.
Yes.
But it's not Norrin Rad as we are all used to.
Right. And it's not them gender swapping the character, though. According to the Deadline article, it says that this is a Shala Ball version of the Silver Surfer, which gives the idea that this is a multiversal character. And of course, if you don't know who Shala Ball is in the comics, Shala Ball was the original love interest for Norrin Rad that was part of the reason why he even allowed himself to become the Herald of Galactus. He bartered his servitude to save his planet and his love, Shala Ball, which of course she broke up with him because of him doing that. When you become the Herald of, a genocidal, world consumer, obviously, that's going to strain the relationship a little bit.
Well, but you know, look, here's the thing though. In Norman Rad's
defense,
talking
about Fantastic Four, and you say, here's the thing though, we need to have an image of Ben Grimm. I know. Saying it.
Here's the thing. Harold or not, Galactus ain't going to stop. And nobody involved in the equation had the ability to stop him. So, you know, hey, I'll work for you and I'll clear the playing field as long as you let my planet live. Doesn't seem like a bad deal to make. I'm just saying.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah.
So this character, but you're saying it's not gender swapped, even though the character is now going to be played by a woman. Or actually, I don't know what their genders are. I don't know who it is.
So that's the thing. So it's Julia Gardner. She's playing the character. She's playing Shala Ball's, the version of Shala Ball, which was never a Silver Surfer in the comics. There was another female character that was the Herald, but it definitely makes it sound like they're going to be traipsing through the multiverse, and we're not going to see the Galactus of the MCU. We're going to see the Galactus of some other universe. And it's kind of just like the idea of Maria Rambeau at the end of the Marvels being basically like the Captain Marvel character, or even Multiverse of Madness. Maria Rambeau was the Captain Marvel of that universe, the 686.
Right.
And then you have like multiversal versions where there are other characters swapped, like T'Challa being Star-Lord in What If. I think we're probably going to see, you know, my personal opinion is, the Fantastic Four are going to encounter Galactus in another universe. And then when they come to the MCU, they hope that he's not there. And then, of course, Norman Rad shows up, and now they have to prepare for the Galactus of the MCU. But regardless, you know, it's one of those things. Or the Fantastic Four comes from another universe where Galactus consumed their planet, and they're looking for a new home, and they end up in the MCU.
It'll be interesting to see the way that this Fantastic Four movie plays out. And for those of you, if you're wondering where you may have seen Julia Garner from, only thing I can tell you is I saw her in Ozark. I remember she was in that. Yeah,
that's what everybody's mentioning is Ozark for her.
Yeah, where she played one hell of a spunky character. So, you know, all that casting choices are interesting, but, you know, I'm over all the speculation or hearing about who's playing what. But you know, it's nice that we at least got this from Deadline, so it seems like a source. You know, my only question is, last time we spoke, even though I think, you teased it here, you made mention about the concern about what was going to happen with Disney's board of directors. And apparently that has played out to where the board basically was able to keep insulated. So the schmuck wasn't able to come on the board, but did I hear something else about Iger making some type of announcement that, like, you know, this progressive Disney is over or something?
I do not know about that.
Okay. Well, glad I could put that bug in your ear and put it in the ear for everybody else as well to check out. It'll be interesting to see how that plays out if he did truly say that something along the lines of woke Disney is over, because I don't know. I've always kind of felt just some of the things that we've seen weren't necessarily any of that. It was just more about the characters being changed or adjusted for modern day storytelling. So we'll see how that goes, because I don't.
Okay. I'm just reading this. This is interesting.
Okay. What are the highlights, Tony?
So basically, there's an accusation that Faber, one of the board members, went woke. And it says, Iger's just like, I ignore it. There's no relevance to Walt Disney Company or me. Infusing messaging as a sort of number one priority in our films and TV shows is not what we're up to. They need to be entertaining, he said.
See, now, son of a biscuit eater, now I'm spreading disinformation by clickbaity headlines, which is exactly what that was, because what I said, I heard, and what you just said are two entirely different things.
Not too much. I mean, whether Iger specifically is saying this as a way of combating people accusing Disney for going woke up to this point needs to be said. And I need to do a little bit more research on this. Now,
Yeah, that's right. You do your own research.
Because Nelson, okay, so the whole thing, let's go like a little bit farther back because we didn't say too much. Nelson Peltz wanted board seats from Disney specifically for the purpose that he felt like they were going too far. Don't understand why we need to have all women cast. I don't understand why we need to have an all black cast. But it was Wakanda forever. It's a country in Africa. Let's just mm-hmm. face it. And so that was tone deaf. And I guess Bob Iger is responding to the accusations from Peltz and Faber and everybody else saying that Disney's going too woke and is trying to reiterate the fact that we're just trying to be entertainment. Now, does that mean that he may course correct? And I feel like he's already been doing that. And again, we're not saying that Bob Iger is the savior of Disney. I would say he is the lesser of the two evils.
Right, exactly.
And so Bob Iger is not without fault for a lot of things. A lot of people blame Bob Chapek for stuff when really Bob Iger was still involved with it and wouldn't let go of the reins. And as much as, let's face it, Chapek was very tone deaf, especially when he was addressing Shang-Chi and The Legend of the Ten Rings, Bob Iger is not without fault. And so there does need to be a focus of quality over quantity. And we need to not be so CGI driven with our stories. But and if that's what he's trying to say, we're going to do better and we're going to be more responsible and focus on the entertainment factor. That's great. But to think that they would be backtracking from anything they've done, because I don't think Disney has gone woke. I just think they've been blamed for going woke because they were telling diverse stories, which they need to, especially with Marvel. And though those diverse stories may not have always had the best storylines, the intent behind it and representing this multicolored and multicultural phenomenon that has storylines from all over the world in the MCU or in Marvel Universe, they need to be represented. So,
yeah, I would definitely concur. And like I said, I haven't seen anything happen in any of these things that wasn't in line with telling a story in a modern era. That's it. You know, yeah. I'm sorry if you don't like the fact that, oh, never mind. I don't want to get into it. Like I said, I try.
I would agnostic. Say this, the only accusation that people can actually legitimately have is with Thor Love and Thunder. And it's specifically because Taika Waititi just didn't care. And mm-hmm. he's even admitted as much. And for that, I would say that's a disservice to the fans. But even going back and watching that, knowing that he wasn't really putting his heart into it, there are some great thematic elements, even in that movie. Yes, some of the execution was terrible, but you can go back and you can still appreciate some of that stuff. And I think that's, we have a high standard and we have, you know, a very low bar when it comes to, you know, our threshold for being frustrated, especially with the, let's say, oversaturation when it comes to the Snyderverse or the Sonyverse or whatever it is. So. But we can talk about that for hours.
Yes, which we do not currently have because, guys, pizza must be made for the most important, one of the most important people in my life. So with that, that brings us to a close. But, Tony, thank you very much for stepping in again. Always a pleasure. One of the things that I definitely said last week after Netheads, and I most certainly said after sitting in on Fandoms, is just that it's a great time because it's a good conversation with a friend. So thank you very much for taking time out of your day for that. Until next time, my name's Will.
And I'm Tony.
Live long and prosper.
May the force be with you.
We got it right. I'll be darned.
Netheads. Netheads. We'll be back soon.
Goodbye.
This has been a Smodco Internet production. Sip, only at smodcast.com. That was the most brutal segue I dropped between talking about influencers and switching to building furniture in your basement. I'm glad you did not get a nosebleed from that shift being so harsh.
It's okay. I think I got a little bit of whiplash, but I'll be okay.
I'm surprised you survived.